Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
God bless you. Are you ready for the Word of God? Well, I'm going to introduce I'm going to introduce you to one of my best friends. I've been friends for a long time, and he's a fellow minister of the gospel. And he just came back to the church today, you know, here. But he's been connected to us ever since he's been born again. And it's good to have Brenda. And Brenda, your name is the same as my Brenda. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it means fiery one. Now, she lives up to it. I'm sure you will. Also means giver of great light. So we bless both of you. But get ready and just welcome Pastor Andy Evans.
Amen. Lights are bright. It is good to be back. You know, I was listening to Mike as he was teaching this morning about God is eternal. And because we're born again, we're eternal. And with God, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. And even though I've been gone for several years, it doesn't feel like I've been gone at all. It feels like I've always been here. You know, God has showed me a lot over the years, but it seems like the last 15 or so months, I was just thinking, I was talking to Brenda as we were coming over here today. A year ago today, I was in the hospital with my first case of pneumonia in 2022, and I was in the hospital three different times last year. In January of this year, January 29th, I was in the hospital again. It's only been about 6 weeks ago, and I was having seizures. And I'll talk about that a little bit as we go along here. But I just want to share with you just a little bit. And you know, it doesn't seem like for me that no matter how much I study, no matter how many plans I make, on the short little trip from there to here, God changes it. Doesn't keep me from studying. It doesn't. Doesn't keep me from doing that. Because I know that what God pours in, eventually, He's going to put enough pressure on me and it's going to come out. So I don't really worry, because I know that what's going to come out is what He's going to want to come out. In 2013, when I left First Baptist Church, I started doing house churches. And I've done multiples of those since then. And when I left there, I had already been to Nepal twice. I had already started doing those house churches. And during one of those house churches, and you know, it's funny the things that God will do in a house church, because you know, people will tell you things in a group of 10 or 12 that they will never tell you in a group this size. And this was a young man, his name was Hans, and he was in a group house over off of Forest Lake Road. And he was a very bright guy. He had a sister who was a lawyer. He had a brother that was a doctor. His daddy was a lawyer. He was from the Northwest. But he was bipolar. I think he was also autistic. He was a brilliant guy. And when he was on, he would say some very profound things. And when he was off, he would do some very inappropriate things. And the problem was, I never knew when I went to pick him up which one I was getting. But he said something one night that I have never forgot. And we were having, as a group, we were having a theological discussion about a certain, I don't even remember what we were talking about. But all of a sudden, he just said, "May I say something?" It always made me nervous. But here's what he said. He said, "What is our goal here? Is it to be right, or is it to be free?" Is it to be right? Is it important for us to be right, or do we want to be free? Now, being right is about facts. We have to have facts, and they have to produce evidence that will support those facts. And for those of you that might have checked into the Alex Murdaugh trial over the last few weeks, facts were important. And one set of facts sank him. But when it comes to the things of God, facts are sometimes hard to come by. And Terry, you mentioned a few weeks ago about experience. Now, I've had some experience that were short on facts. But it changed my life. It changed my life. But being free must be grounded in knowing the truth. Now, John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, I've wrestled with that scripture for years because, and here, and it seems like a very fine distinction, because I thought, well, what sets me free? And for a long time, I said the truth. But it goes a little deeper than that. It's not just the truth. It's the truth that I know. It's the truth that I know. Because there's a lot of things that are truth. But is it the truth that I know? Now, I know some truth about flying. I know it's thrust and lift. But y'all, that's all I know. And I don't know what really makes a plane get off the ground, and it weighs so much. I just know it flies. But when it comes to Jesus, it has to be the truth that I know. I have to know him.
I'm going to keep that earpiece from flying off his ear. Yeah. You just keep on talking.
Yeah, because I may flip here in just a minute. I'm not used to these things. I've been in places where I was lucky to have one of these things that clipped on my shirt. Fix my hair, too, while you're at it, if you don't mind. Thank you. But you see, I think sometimes for Christians, and this is not a knock, because I've been one, and I am one, but sometimes I will say things based on scriptures that I've read, but I haven't claimed it as my own. It's just something I've read, and I'll quote scriptures time and time again, and the problem is it never impacts anybody's life, because I'm just quoting scripture, but it's not the truth that I've come to know, therefore I don't own it. And lost people can see that a mile off. Do you hear me? And you know, and I thank you for the opportunity, brother, to come to Out of the Ashes and talk to some of those men, because sometimes when I'm saying something, And in my heart, I know I've just said something that I don't own. And I can tell that they know it. So that compels me. Now, for the last couple of weeks since Terry asked me if I would like to preach, day after day after day, here's the word that's been bouncing on inside of my head: be a truth teller. Be a truth teller. To be a truth teller, I have to know the scripture and I have to own it. Otherwise, I'm not doing a bit of good in the kingdom. So, do I want to be right? I mean, the truth I'm telling could be right, but it has to be the truth that I know. And then it'll set me free. And if the person sees that it's setting me free, then they'll want it. And then they'll grab a hold of it, and they'll consume it, and it will set them free. Okay. The text that I want you to look at is Mark 8, 22. This is a passage that I have been in and out of since 2012. This is 2012 is when this passage became alive for me, and it came alive in a trip to India. It was my second time to India, and hopefully you'll see why here in just a moment. I'm going to read the whole passage. Just a few verses. Mark 8, 22. And they came to Bethesda. And some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Okay? They came to Bethsaida. Literally means house of fish. House of fish. And there was a blind man, and he had some friends. Everybody needs some friends like this. Especially if you're blind. And that could be physically or spiritually. I've had friends like this. We need them. Because I don't always see when I'm in trouble. There's been a lot of times I've been in trouble. And I've had people that had spiritual discernment come to me and say, "Hey, bud, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?" And I could get offended. But when I've got friends like that that I trust, when they ask me what's wrong with me, I generally assume that there's something wrong with me. And if you don't have friends like that that you can trust, you're in trouble. You're one of those people when God sends a helicopter and a boat and there's a flood and you don't get on them, you're doomed. We need friends like that. So they brought him to Jesus. Brought him to Jesus and asked him to touch him. And asked him to heal him. They just figured if Jesus touched him, everything would be okay. Have you ever cried out, Jesus, touch me? Just touch me. Have you ever been so low? You know, and God told me this morning, and I'll say that, because I believe after 26 years, I've got to the point to where just knowing when God's speaking instead of all these other voices, y'all, there's a lot of voices in this world. And ain't but one of them Jesus. And you need to learn which one's Jesus, because the enemy's really good at counterfeiting his voice. We got to know when it's him. And when Jesus said it was possible, because he said, my sheep know my voice. I know a guy that lives over off of Harris Henrietta Road, and he has a bunch of sheep. A bunch of sheep. And there's several of us in the Sunday school class at the time. He had us come over to his house. And he had a sense of humor. He said, I want y'all to come with me. He said, I want you. They had a whole flock of sheep, and they was way over on the hill. He said, holler, each one of us, holler at them sheep. We hollered, and we sounded like, I'm not even going to tell you what. I tried it, and I was embarrassed that I even tried. None of them come. He said, okay, watch this. And he made what I thought was a ridiculous sound. The ground shook. Here they come. They knew his voice. Y'all, if we don't know his voice, we're in trouble. We've got to get ourselves, and it takes some time. You got to ask him, God, teach me to know your voice. Teach me to know your voice. So they knew they could bring him to Jesus and ask him to touch him. And it said he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. That's an important part of that passage. He took him out of the village. Why? Because the village was part of his problem. He was in a place that he couldn't see, and he had been trained by people that he couldn't see to navigate his way in a place that he didn't build. He was in his comfort zone. And Jesus, the first thing he did was took him out of that place that he had known all his life, because he knew he needed to get him out of that place. Doesn't he do that for us? 26 years ago, when I walked into this place, he had taken me out of a place that I knew. And he brought me into a place that I didn't know. And I'm being honest, y'all. I hadn't been in a church in 23 years since I was 18 years old. They didn't dance around with flags in the Baptist church that I went to when I was 18 years old. And there wasn't no Vaughn Clarks that went up and down the aisles telling people stuff about themselves. And there wasn't people that talked in tongues. I was way out of my comfort zone. And by the time Vaughn Clark got to the edge of the pew, right back there, about three pews this way, four pews this way, and I was sitting close to that sound box, I was looking for a way to get out. And I was in between Billy and Abby, my son and daughter, and Vaughn was at that end, and Roger Gosner was coming down that end, and I was looking behind me to see if I could go over the pews, and they were packed. God had put me in a place that was so unfamiliar. But I was froze. And before I knew it, I was up standing up in the middle, crying my eyes out, and begging my children to forgive me for the father that I had been. And then Vaughn Clark started speaking to me and telling me things about myself that only I knew. It got my attention. He had no way of knowing what kind of childhood I had. He didn't know I had been a drug addict and a drunk for 20 years. He didn't know that. So even though I wasn't the smartest guy in the world, I figured out God told him. So here these guys brought their friend to be touched by God. And he took him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, Do you see anything? Now see, here's what's going on here now. Now see, Jesus is wanting to know, do you see anything? But what he's asking him is, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? And I know this because of one thing. I can go to Isaiah 61, verse 3. He says, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. Oaks of righteousness. I see men like trees walking. See, he's wanting to know, do you see what I see? Do you see? And I may be wrong, but I think this is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus did a two-stage healing. Usually he just said, be healed. Get up, take your bed and walk. Man's arm was deformed. Be healed, it grew out. This was a two-stage healing. Do you see anything? Yeah, I see what you talked about in Isaiah 61. I see men like trees walking. Out of the ashes. Come on, y'all. I believe there's people here this morning that need to hear this. Some of you might be sitting on the corner blind, and God's waiting on you to see what he sees. God's waiting on some friends of yours to come and get you by the hand and lead you up to this altar so that you can see what Jesus sees. Or maybe he's waiting on you right now to hear this and say, God, I want to see what you see. Will you just touch me this morning? Will you just speak to me this morning? Y'all, I'm the least special person that I know. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody. He loves you. He loves you. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Clearly. Jesus said, okay, you see what I see. Now I'm going to let you see what everybody else sees. And he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. Don't you go back to that village. You go home. But don't you go back to what you come out of. Don't you dare go back to what they constructed for you when you were still blind. Do you hear me? How many Christians have stumbled when God showed up and delivered them from what they had been living in, and they get saved and they feel better about themselves, and then they go back to that pigsty? And what happens to them? Y'all, it's easier to pull somebody down than it is to lift them up. Don't go back to town. Don't go back to town. God didn't save you for you to go back. But it happens. That's where those friends, see, I've been blessed. I told Terry before church, first 3 or 4 years, I was in his office enough where they could charge me rent. I couldn't get enough, and I was blessed. Brother, you're my spiritual father. And through the years, I haven't honored you enough. And I'm sorry. But without this man, I don't know. Over the years, I've called him many times, and it might have been years that I hadn't seen him. But I always knew that if I was ever in trouble, I could call Terry. Everybody needs to realize that. You can't do this walk alone. You can't. That's why the church is so important. I remember that old song, "Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going." Really? Yeah, me and Jesus, we go out in my bass boat and we got our own thing going. We just talk and have a big time. What if your boat sinks? The church is meant to minister to the body. We are meant to be there for our brothers and sisters. We are meant to be helpful to each other and to love one another. This blind man, he had some friends. And they stayed there with him and they heard Jesus was coming. And all they wanted was a touch. All they wanted was a touch. I want to go back to what I mentioned in the beginning. I told you I would. When I had those seizures, started, I guess, the last week of January, maybe a little earlier than that, I went to the VA, Brenda. And speaking of friends, my wife is my best friend. And she's like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, she's like a bulldog. No is not an answer that she takes well. Honey, I'm going to take you to the ER. No, I'm not going. Honey, I'm taking you to the ER. No, I'm not going. She disappears, comes back. She got me some pants and a shirt and some shoes. We're going to the ER. And that's when I give her the silent treatment. And I see her going, I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to hear crank a car." So I get dressed. And we go to the ER, or she calls the ER. And they said, the VA, they said, take him to Mission. And call this number, we'll take care of it. So that was on a Friday night. That Saturday morning, we stayed all night in the ER. They took me to three different rooms in the same ER. I didn't know what was going on. And you remember my daddy. I'm starting to manifest him. I always said, I am not going to be like my daddy. But after the third move, and I'm still in the ER, as Brenda told the nurse, he's getting agitated. She was being nice. Because I didn't know what they were doing. They weren't telling me. They said, you're going to be, this is the last place we're going to move you to. 10 minutes later, they come in and they're moving me. And finally, they got me to my final room. But before they moved me, I had four seizures in about 20 minutes. And they witnessed all of them, didn't they? But I wasn't losing consciousness. I mean, I was aware of everything, and everything was just, I was more than agitated. So they get me upstairs, and that's the next morning. And then that night, I think I had four more. But about 1 o'clock in the morning, it was on the 29th of January. I mean, I was writing in my journal, you know. And in the early morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I had another one, and it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. And all of a sudden, I just felt the Holy Spirit just blow through that room in the midst of that seizure. And I felt like that I was on a rocket ship, and it was dark, and it was cloudy, and it was like I was in the midst of a storm. And then all of a sudden, I broke through the cloud, and I saw the bluest sky that I have ever seen in my life. And in my spirit, I thought, I am closer to heaven than I am earth. And it was so real. It was so real. And I thought, I'm free. And the seizure's still going on. I thought, I'm free. And I thought, he loves me. And I love him. And then it was, the seizure was over, but I started talking to God. And he started talking to me. And I don't know, Brenda said she heard me talking. How long was it? An hour? Maybe? This went on and on and on. And I was so happy. I thought, I'm going home. I'm going home. The only person I've told this to was Brenda. And Terry, I remember you preaching several weeks ago, and you said, God gives us treasures. And we shine them, and we hold them, and we don't tell everybody. And it's been 6 weeks, I guess, since I had this. And I asked God, I said, God, can I share this with the church? And I felt like he told me I needed to. Because this one was, he said, this one is not meant to be held on to. The church needs to hear this. And I said to myself, I said, well, what if they don't believe it? Because they'll say, well, you're having a seizure. You imagined this. He said, you tell them this. You know it's real because you were there when it happened. Y'all, I was there when it happened. Every moment, every second, everything about that. And you know what was so wonderful about that blue? Terry Wilson, it was Carolina blue. I'm not lying. I don't care that they lost. I love them. I don't care. It was so blue. If it had been Duke blue, I don't know if I'd have told the story. I'm just kidding. But y'all, God did that for me because He loves me. And an hour later, hour or two later, I had another seizure. And it was the worst one that I had had the whole time I was there. The worst one. And you know what? It was okay. Because it didn't diminish the shine of what I saw and the hour that I had talking to Him. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. You can't persuade me. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul said. I'm not ashamed. Because it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Some things we have to walk by faith. I know that. But I saw this. And I don't have to wonder anymore. I don't. He's real. He's real. I've seen too much. I can't turn back now. He's my Savior. But He's more than that. He's my Lord. If I leave here and I fall over dead today, I'll see you over there. Because He is real. Y'all, I love you. And I thank you for welcoming me back. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. And I look forward to what God's going to do here. This is a special place, and God's favor is on this place. Amen. You got something you need to be prayed for? If God's speaking to you, if you don't have this Jesus that I just talked about, or if you need to be delivered, if you need to be set free, if you need anything, this altar's open. If you don't want to leave here the way you came in, God's waiting.
Going along with what he was saying, so a little about 2 years ago or so, I was in the hospital. I spent 55 days in the hospital. I had to relearn how to walk, talk, eat, breathe, feed myself, everything just all over again. And when I was in the hospital, I saw Jesus. He was right there. He was saying, this is exactly what he said. He said, "Gavin, you are not alone through this. I am with you no matter what." And I like to say, I like to tell people that because it lets them know that he's with them if no matter what they're going through, no matter what's happening, no matter what, he's with them. Every step of the way, he's with them.
Amen. I give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Well, don't sit down. We're leaving. We really are. We're leaving. Brother, that was a great message. Great message. And actually, last week, Austin did a great job. I tell you, we have some awesome people here that knows how to deliver the word. We really do. We really do. Well, can you say it's good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people today? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Do not let this word that's been sown today, let the seeds go deep into our lives, Lord, that it will produce fruit in what we see, that we will see what you see, and that we will be able to see clearly in everything that we see. Lord, may we have redemptive vision, that when we see the wrong, we have a redemptive vision to be able to make what's wrong right in people's lives. Thank you again, Lord, for your presence today. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you for your love. He loves you, and we love him. Let's just give him one more shout of praise, and we'll do business. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.